Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is none like our God.
Amen.
He's excellent in all that he does. Amen. Let us pray. None like you. None like you, Lord God. So, God, we bow before you, God, to just thank you, Lord God, for being God of our lives. Because there's none like you, God. So loving and protective, Lord God, and loved us so much that you sent your son, God, to die for us, God. There is none like you, God. So, God, we say just once again, just thank you, God, for all and everything, God, that you do. For your protection, Lord God, and your provision, Lord God. For your presence, just being with us, just being in part of our lives, God. Just leading and directing, God. God, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for forgiving us, Lord God. We continuously sin and fall short of your glory. But you're such a good God and such a forgiving God, such a loving God, that you forgive us of our mess and restore us in a right relationship with you, God. And we take this time this morning to say thank you, God, for that. God, we lift up this morning the military families, God, those that have lost loved ones, Lord God, and those that are still serving, Lord God, that you would just be with them and protect them and bring them back safely to their families, Lord God. And for anyone that may be reflecting and grieving this morning, God, we just ask that you give them the peace that surpasses all of understanding, that any pain and any grief will be replace with precious memories this day, Lord God. Let them know that, God, you would never leave them or forsake them, that you're right there in the middle of whatever they may be going through, God. Now, God, we pray for the worship experience this morning, Lord, that you would have your way, that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord God, in this place, God, that you would empower, that you would comfort, God, that you would just give them what they need this day because, God, that's who you are.
Amen.
So, God, now I pray if there be anything in me that's not pleasing to thee, that you would remove it right now in the name of Jesus the Christ, that I may hear clearly from you, Lord God, and if you give it to me to speak, God, I will move in obedience and just speak whatever you say, God, because this is your word and this is your pulpit and this is your church, God. So, God, just have your way. Let your presence, your anointing, your power, your glory be felt throughout this entire building. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ we do pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Our message this morning is a continuation, really, of what God has been giving us for abundant life. And it is from the book of Acts. The messages have been similar. We talked about gold. We talked about God's orders. We talked about being and walking in obedience to God's word. We talked about being a witness last week, and I believe everyone agreed that they wanted to be a witness for him. So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV Bible, the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, starting with the first verse, 9. Chapter 9, first verse, and we're going to read about a witness for him. Yes, we will. So if, when you've found it, please stand on in reverence to God's holy word. The 9th chapter of the book of Acts. We talked about last week knowing the history. You say you're a Christian, but do you know the history of Christianity and what really went on in the early church? Know your history. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. It reads this way in the NIV Bible, the 9th chapter, starting with verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." I wasn't planning to read all this, but "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my word before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Amen. Amen. You may be seated. He's going to show Paul some stuff. Paul was on a mission, y'all. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles." Amen. So our message this morning is just one word. The title is just one word, and it is chosen. 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 See, I believe all of us can relate to this just basic word. Many of us have experienced situations when we wanted to be chosen. We wanted to be the chosen one. See, if you've ever been in any type of competition, or if you're a competitive person, you know how important it is to be chosen. To be the chosen one makes you feel kind of special. Am I right about it? If you are the chosen one. So our message today is about one of the greatest chosen or called witnesses for Christianity. We agreed last week, everybody stood up. Yes, I want to be a witness for him. So we're going to talk about the experience that this chosen vessel went through when God decided, "Paul, stop the foolishness. I'm going to use you for my glory." Even Paul wrote later in 1 Corinthians, he said he was called. He acknowledged it by that time. See, he had gone through a lot of stuff, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this: "I am a called apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm called by the will of God." Basically, he was chosen by God's will. Anybody here believe that they're chosen by God's will this morning? And the good news about Paul is that Paul, and also known as Saul, said yes.
Too often when God calls us to something, we go running. God, is there you? I'm not sure that's the Lord. I may not want to go that way because, God, I don't know that it's you that's calling me. But Paul didn't hesitate, y'all. Read the story. Paul just turned over his will to God. So it's just something for all of us to think about. Because we've had many sermons about God is able and what God can do for us. And God has given me these series of messages about what can you do for me? What have you done for me lately? Come on. Because you all want God to do something for you. God is an Abundant Life Christian Ministry. What have you done for me lately? Are you willing to say yes, Lord, to my will and to my way? Are you still stuck in a place where you think what you're doing is more important than what I have for you to do? Come on with me now. This is the word of God. I don't even have this on the paper for you. But God wants something different from us. I believe that we are called to be a great ministry for a great God. But we have to get right first. We have to stop playing church, looking good in church, and know you're not doing what the word of God is saying to you. Come on, people of God. How can we be a light for him if we are not doing the right thing? How can we be a light for him? But God put us on this corner for a reason. So stop looking at the numbers. Start looking at yourself and see whether you're walking in the will of God. When we're in the will of God, God is going to bless us. See, I'm just convinced God is waiting on us. I'm convinced of that. God is waiting on us. And will you be like Apostle Paul and say, yes, Lord? Last week, yes, all of you all stood up, and that was a good thing. But I challenge you this morning and ask you, if you will be a witness for your Lord and your Savior, are you equipped to be a witness? Really? It was good that everybody stood up, but are you really equipped to be a witness? And if you're not equipped, are you in the process of equipping yourself by studying, applying, and believing this word of God? See, this is not a time for you to even look to the person next to you. This is a time for you to have a little talk with Jesus. God, am I really doing all I can to serve you? Lord, am I really studying your word to apply it to my life? God, am I really a light for you when I walk out of the church building? God wants us to grow up. I hope y'all don't hit me when I walk out of here, but this is the word of God for the people of God. God wants us to grow up, people. He wants us to be different. Are you really serious about your walk with God? Are you really? Are you really? And one thing we learned last week, in order to be an authentic witness for God, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads, directs, and guides us to the truth. So don't go out and try to witness on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Too often we go out and tell people what we think. And if you start off the word with I, or reply with I, you're in the wrong place already. Because it's not about what you think. It's what the word of God says about the situation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all are looking at me like, whoa, is she talking to me this morning? So let's go back and take a look at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was known as Saul, and that was his Jewish name. But he had become the apostle. He became the apostles to the non-Jews. See, God wanted everyone saved. That's included, just includes us. So he sent Paul to the Gentiles. Theologians indicate that there is no person apart from Jesus that impacted the Christianity movement of the history as the Apostle Paul. Amen. See, Paul was a major player. Do you all know about the Apostle Paul? If I read his story, the entire book of Acts, the majority, starting with chapter 10 through 28, talks about the journey of the Apostle Paul. That means that there is something that God wants us to know, something that God wants us to believe, something that God wants you to read, church. Have you ever read the book of Acts in entirety? Don't raise your hand. But just ask yourself. I said I'm a Christian, but have I read the history of the church? See, nobody was better suited for this task because Paul had a certain zeal. He was excited about God. What Paul was doing, he thought he was doing it for the Lord. He was highly gifted. So he was going around. He didn't want anybody to get in the way of his God. So he was crucifying. Now, he was persecuting Christians because he believed that they were heretics. That they were preaching about something that was false. So he wanted them out of the way. So the beginning of chapter 9, the Bible starts with Paul is uttering these threats towards Christians. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he had gotten a letter from the high priest. When I get in town, when I get into Damascus, I want to just chain them all and take them on back. Because they don't know what they're saying. And he said, the people that are following the way. We need them out of the way. See, the name implies the way of the Lord because Jesus said, I am the way. But see, Paul didn't understand that when he was looking at what they were doing. Jesus already told him, I am the way. So as Paul traveled to Damascus, you heard part of the story. And I want you to get this in your spirit because I have preached this years ago. And some people say, I didn't know about the Apostle Paul. But this morning, I'm going to talk enough about Paul that if someone says Apostle Paul, you're going to know about his journey. You're going to know about his journey. And you're going to learn something that I pray that you can apply to your life. So as he was going on his way, I'm going to get me some of those people following the way. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up and knocked him to the ground. He said, Saul, why are you speaking against me? Why are you persecuting me? See, he was having an encounter with Jesus. Have anybody ever had an encounter with Jesus? Now, come on. A few of us have encountered Jesus because he changes your whole world. Hollywood. Paul said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So as Paul was on the ground, I can imagine his mind is just reeling now. Wait a minute. He's Jesus. I thought he was dead. He's Jesus. He's who the people are talking about that's following the way. He's Jesus. Could I have it wrong all this time? But Jesus told him to get up and I'll tell you what to do. So Paul was obedient. Paul didn't hesitate now. Jesus said, get up. But when he got up, he realized he can't see. He's blind. He's walking around there in blindness. But I believe he was blind all the time, y'all. He was spiritually blind all the time. But now he can't physically see. His world had just changed, come on, y'all, without notice. Now he's walking in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going. But they said the companions with him led him to Damascus. See, God had a divine plan, but he had to take Paul through this process. He needed to let him know that Jesus was Lord. Jesus is Lord. And what was interesting to me, God sent him to Ananias. But see, Ananias didn't want anything to do with Paul because he's heard about him. Now, let me ask you, there are sometimes you heard about people and God calls them to ministry, but you don't trust them because God chose them, but yet still you remember their past. So we have to be so mindful of that because God does the choosing, y'all. No matter what people have done in the past, God them up, turn them around, clean them up, and send them on their way. And that includes all of us. So we don't have time to judge anybody else's story. All we have to do is look, God, what do you want from me? Yes, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. Because God does the choosing, and Paul was chosen. Oh, yes. But in this time of Paul being blind, it's something that we can think about, too, that God sometimes slows us down. We can be on our way someplace that we know we should not be going, but God will put a hold on that thing. You know, he was anxious to get to the place to get the Christians, but God put a hold on that. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yeah. See, he stopped him in his tracks. He was forced to conclude that, yeah, Jesus really is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So if you go on and read the story, you'll see where Jesus, Ananias touched Paul and he could see again. But the good news about Paul is this. When he could see again, they say he went to the synagogue. First of all, he did some study and he hung out with the disciples. Once he felt equipped, then he went into the synagogue and began to preach. This man that was trying to kill the Christian is now an itinerant preacher traveling around sharing the good news. Now, what that means, that's good news for us. No matter what we've done in the past, all right, God can turn that thing around if we are willing to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, I will trust you and obey. See, there is nothing that you have done that will keep God from choosing you. Because see, I believe all of us are chosen for a purpose. But the question really is, will you say yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, to your will, and yes, Lord, to your way. Because too often we want to do things our way because it's fun and we like that thing. Oh, yes, we do. But God wants something different from us from Abundant Life. It's time for us to say, yes, Lord. I'm going to leave the world behind. I'm going to put the cross, God, in front of me, and I'm going to focus and follow you, because I believe that's the word for Abundant Life. It's time for us to focus on Jesus. We have done enough foolishness, and God has allowed us still life in our bodies, despite us. Some of us should have been dead based on some of the stuff that we've done, but God has allowed life to be still in your body. Will you say yes, Lord? I believe we're all chosen, you all. Oh, yes, I do. We're all chosen. And there is so much that we can learn from this Apostle Paul. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But will you say yes? Will you say, God, I got a few other things I got to do first. God, you know about that. God, I need to make a little money first, but I'll get with you soon. But the Bible didn't say anything about it. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the stuff you need, he already knows what you need. He will provide. See, we know that stuff, but are we doing it? Come on with me, y'all. I'm going to close out if y'all say amen. We know it. Someone asked this morning in Sunday school that it was something about why it's so difficult to love. And I asked the same, not similar question, why is it so difficult to follow the word of God? Why is it so difficult? Let me see if anybody making eye contact. Why is it so difficult to follow the word of God? Wow. Don't look at your neighbor. Just, God, help me. You know, because, see, I'm the man or the woman in the mirror. Help me follow you. Help me be a light to a dying world where we have unsaved family and friends. Help me be the one. Because, see, truly, people that are unsaved would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. So how are you living, people of God? They know you are in church on Sunday morning, but how are you living during the week? Oh, God, help me. How are you living during the week? Despite the fact you're chosen. See, we are a chosen generation. God has already put some things in motion, but he gives us free will. Will you say yes? See, that's the real deal. Will you say yes? And I won't get into this war between the flesh and the spirit. We all know about that. Because when you would do good, evil is all around you. But see, Jesus came to conquer all that stuff. When you would do good, it's right there with you. And two, when you are called to ministry, Minister Vern, you have to be careful. That's when devil will send stuff at you. Once you say yes, I mean, you it's game. The game is on now. Even people will begin to question you. Are you sure? I remember when. That's their assignment because they're working from another spirit. So just be mindful of that. Just be mindful. So whenever you want to do something for the Lord, believe me, Satan's army will come after you. Just be mindful of that. Because so many times people come down here on Sunday mornings and we never see them again. It's because they get excited here and they feel the spirit of the Lord, but the world got something for them. You don't need to be up in that church. Check this out. Doesn't this look good to you? Don't this feel good? Come on now with me. Satan, that's his job to pull you back. You all know what I'm talking about. You're looking like you don't, but I know you all know what I'm talking about. Because when we all walk out, we walk back into the world, and the world has some stuff for you that will cancel everything that God is trying to sow into you. I know that's right. I live this stuff. But I'm going to try to close it up. See, y'all want to get out and have some hot dogs and hamburgers and all that stuff. But I thank God that you all put God first this morning. That you decided that I'm going to go to church first and give God his praise. I'm going to worship my God before I do anything else. I'm going to get right with God so that when I go to these various places, I'll be able to handle my business and act like a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But God has always chosen unlikely people. And he's choosing you. He's choosing you with all the stuff that's going on in your life. But will you say yes? Will you say yes to God? See, think about some of the people. He chose Moses. Moses was known as a murderer, y'all. The little shepherd boy named David became the king. Little Jewish girl named Esther became queen. The little girl named Mary became the mother of the Savior of the world. But when God chooses you, or if you're willing, he will equip you. So that's what I want to leave with you today, that we're all chosen. But will you say yes? Will you use your gifts and talents for the building of the kingdom? Will you walk in God's way? Will you walk in God's will? Will you walk in your chosen purpose? Your chosen purpose. Because we all have a purpose. We all have gifts. We all have talents. But will you use them for the Lord? Or will you use them for some selfish purpose? I'm going to wind this down because, see, I already know that God has a great work for us here at Abundant Life. I know that he's chosen this church and given us a purpose. But we must get right with God. We must get right with God and do it now. We must get right with God. So as I bring this to a final close, I'm going to ask Brother LaVar to play this song for me. And I'm saying we're going to be singing this every Sunday until God says stop. He knows what it is. It's to put the world, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to stop playing. See, God has chosen me. And when God chooses you, you're going to have to let go of some people. You're going to have to let go of some stuff. And sometimes it hurts because it's stuff you think you love and you think you can't do without. But the truth be told, God is the only one that you really can't do without. Try to live your life without God. Twisted, messed up. You're going this way and that way and this way and that way. So Abundant Life, I challenge you to sing along as he plays this song and sing it from the heart. God is giving us this theme because he knows the work he has for us. Yes, God will take care of whatever is going on in your life. Christ did it all on the cross. We know that. We know that we are whole and we're healed and that we can live the abundant life. We know that. We know that we are forgiven and that we are empowered.